With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to our special coverage of Netflix's new LGBTQ coming-of-age rom-com Heartstopper. My name is Grace. I am very excited to be joined by my co-host, Matt Scott. Matt, how you doing?
Woo, dang, I need a bell. I'm doing really well. Excited to be here. Excited to, I don't know what I want to say, nom on some pods. It's been a few weeks.
Yeah.
About to nom on the pods.
Oh.
Nom on some heart stoppers. Just dive all the way in, Grace. I'm always happy to podcast with you, of course.
I know, same. I Josh Wigler turned me onto the show. He said, hey, this show is coming out tomorrow. This was last Thursday. And I was like, oh, this is like so my jam of like, so coming of age and then LGBTQ. I was super excited. And I was like, well, I got to find a co-host. And who better than Matt Scott? Talked about LGBTQ things with you in the past. And it's just a delightful little show. And you're delightful. So I was like, let's do this. Let's get the, you know, we don't have a band, but we'll get the band together for the and talk about Heartstopper.
What an honor, I'll say. And I also have to say it's great to be podcasting with you about a show because I'm so good at not watching shows, especially because of pro wrestling. Like, oh yeah, I'd rather just stick to the 7 hours plus of wrestling content each week than dive into other shows. But you told me about this. I heard about Heartstopper from you, Grace.
Yeah.
And whoa, I am obsessed.
Did you think this show was going to be about Shawn Michaels?
Shawn Michaels?
He's the Heartbreak Kid, but yeah.
Wow. Yeah, some sweet chin music.
Hopefully we found all of the Venn diagram of pro wrestling fans and LGBTQ people. And they're going to like our references over the next 8 episodes.
Do you think we could get Shawn Michaels as a guest on the podcast?
Yeah, I've reached out to his agent. Yeah, I'm going to try.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, what a moment. Look at that. The Heartbreak Kid talking about Heartstopper. Uh-huh. No, this is, look, if I'm not expecting any wrestling references, but I'm ready for all of them.
Yeah. We get rugby in Heartstopper, but we don't get wrestling. They're on the wrestling team. They're on the rugby team because it's British. It's a British show.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, I think we're very well positioned to talk about this show. Now, maybe this is a stretch, Grace.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I am in the U.S. American. You're Canadian.
Yes.
We have like that, the geographic diversity that we bring to this podcast. Maybe we could give some different perspective, because it was interesting to take in this show and just all of the, like, no one called anyone a bloke, but there's a lot of other stuff that's popped up too. I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's also like maybe a Canadian thing, you know?
I do feel like I do watch a lot of British television is something I do, particularly like British comedian panel shows. I love them. So I feel like, and I feel like I'm very, I feel like I'm tuned in to British culture, but probably, you know, a real Brit who's listening to this will soon be like, no, there's no way.
They'll trash we'll me for making a comparison between anyone who's not US. Hey, yeah.
Part of the Commonwealth. We're part of the Commonwealth. So,
exactly. You know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we're wrong, that's okay. I don't mind being wrong. I podcast about enough things and enough hours that I inevitably will be wrong about things. So
if we're wrong,
just tell us, but be nice about it, you know?
No. No, if Grace Slater is wrong, you don't want to be right.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
So Heartstopper, this little coming of age LGBTQ show based on a webcomic and a graphic novel by Alice Oseman, which I have not read, but I might seek out at some point. I've promised to do homework on podcasts before, and then I have a terrible memory, so I don't do it. So I won't promise to do homework. But I was delighted to see something like this. Gives me big Love, Simon energy. Did you ever watch Love, Simon? I think a 2018 LGBTQ rom-com as well. That was delightful. And I believe they've made a show called Love, Victor. But there's not a ton of LGBTQ coming of age teen stuff out there. And I think was really excited to see them try something.
Yeah. And I think the other piece of it too, is that it touches on a lot of things. Like, for me personally, I grew up, I've talked about this before on Pod Friends, on RHAP, just about how I went to Catholic school growing up. And so we had our little uniforms and all of that. But I went to an all boys Catholic prep high school. Ooh. And this brought back a lot of memories. And so it does kind of feel like a little bit of a therapeutic journey through there are many, 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 many differences, including like the fact that they have smartphones, because Grace, we're old, believe it or not.
I didn't get a smartphone. I did get diagnosed. I got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes between 9th and 10th grade. And so I did get a flip phone, but it was strictly emergency use only. So different time, right? I don't know, Matt, do you mind asking, were you out in high school? I was not out in high school. I had a running bit with a friend of mine who I would pretend to come out to, which was actually me coming out to. And then I would just be like, nah, just kidding. But that was like the way I like built up my courage to eventually come out. But I was not out in high school.
Yeah, no, I wasn't either. And I think especially in high school, I was like, I was just trying to figure everything out. I didn't know like what I was. I think I could make, I don't know exactly which characters I relate to. I guess we'll talk about it in different ways, because there are little bits and pieces in different people. But yeah, I was like, I was so naive, I think, in high school too. Like I wish that I had as much awareness as like these characters, even though they are very much high school students, and I appreciate that about them.
Yeah, we'll get into it. In terms of to get podcasts out, we have watched the first two episodes, but we'll be doing our best to be a little mostly spoiler free, and we won't spoil anything from episode two. But there is a moment in that where, like, when I was watching it, there was a little bit of me that's like, oh boy, like, wouldn't it have been cool to be out, and you know, wouldn't it have been cool? And then like I backtrack and remember that, like, no, it would not have been. It actually would have been like I would have been bullied like more than I already was. And like what I actually want is to be like living in a world where like it's actually okay to be it. Like that's what I want, like a society that's like accepting, rather than like retrospectively, like I couldn't have come out. Like I wasn't ready to come out until I actually came out. But the idea that like in the future, people can come out whenever they're ready to come out, and hopefully that's like younger than, you know, I had to, would be great. But the show doesn't shy away from the fact that like even kids who are out get made fun of by their like friends, you know, like it's not like the kids who are out these days have it like easy peasy, you know?
Exactly. And I think that's kind of the thing that was really interesting to just watch and take in is like, what are the differences? Because we are not boomers. Like we're,
no.
You know, around just around 30, you know, doing our thing, living life, not having gray hairs yet. Right. And it was interesting to see those differences, but you are totally right in what you're saying. Like the, and another point I'll put out there that's that, you know, about just safety and coming out is like, it's enough to, like, for me, it was enough to be a Black kid in the school that I was in with mostly white kids. And I think sometimes you're just like, look, I'm navigating this. Maybe that's part of why I was like, let me, I'll figure out my sexuality later.
Yeah.
Just because it was like, really, there's so much to navigate with that too. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's also funny because it's like, you never know, but I think, you know, usually you have a good idea at the time of what's potentially safe to do and not safe to do. And
our main characters here, kind of like Nick and Charlie, two white boys. But we do have Elle, it's a trans girl. They don't really talk about her being trans at all, which I thought was like, both really interesting. They don't, that has not been the storyline thus far.
I'm not interested yet, to see
how much it will be or whether it gets brought up. But that is not the story as it's being told yet. But Elle is actually a Black character. I feel like this, like, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but like, yeah, our main characters are white, but
You know what I will say about Elle, and we'll talk about Elle, but like, you know, for me, I have such I watched these episodes multiple times. I watched the episode three times,
I know, because,
mostly because we can't go ahead and keep further. Watching.
I know.
So it's frustrating, but I loved watching it back, and it took me, I was like, wait, because I don't even think I realized that Elle was trans in the first watch.
Yeah, because, that's fair.
And then in the moment when they cut, there's a moment they cut to Elle, I, you know, probably projecting, but I'm like, oh, there's a Black girl in a school. Like, I was just projecting my own experiences, and like,
sure.
Thankfully I was not sitting alone at the lunch table. I was too cool to sit alone at the lunch table. I knew that was an uncool thing to do. I just had less cool friends. Like, that's kind of the move. But you know, I was thinking about that aspect of it. That also didn't really come up in, it hasn't come up yet, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, as far as we've seen two episodes. We're going to talk about episode one in this podcast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not the story they're telling with Elle. So, I mean, I love it. And then also some part of me is like, I also want that. I want to talk about
they
it.
Might,
you know, like
they
it's
might,
part of, for me, it's like, it is that. Part of my identity, you know, like it, as much as like, you don't want to be like the trans person. Sometimes like it is. And then when I'm watching me, I'm like, I do kind of want to see like talking about trans stuff. But
well, now I'm just like, are the kids just like, oh yeah, you're trans, whatever. Nobody cares. Old news.
I don't know. They don't tell you. So I don't think so.
But maybe anyway. In this school, maybe in these schools.
Maybe.
Actually, I will say it is interesting because we'll dive into the stuff.
Well, let's dive into episode one. IMDb and Wikipedia do not list episode titles, but when the credit, the sort of the heartstopper image goes up on the screen, it typically says episode one, and then so far through two episodes, there's been a word afterwards. So I believe episode one is called Meat, although perhaps that's officially in the naming of the show. Episode titles, maybe they don't have names, it's just episode one. But episode one, and we see this teen boy who we'll later learn is, this is Charlie. He is walking through the halls, and he gets a message on his smartphone because we're in 2022 and they have smartphones. Mm-hmm. And it's from Ben, and Ben is asking, can you meet me in the library? And he goes to the library, no Ben to be seen, gets a text message, says, actually, can we meet up at break instead?
So that was 1 minute in. I just want to establish that Ben was established as super flaky 1 minute in.
Yes.
And I mean, is he the a-hole? Maybe.
Definitely the a-hole. Yeah, definitely.
Yes, at that point, definitely. And by the way, just to take a half step back, episode titles.
Yeah.
Do we, are those?
You don't like them?
Are those spoilers?
Well, like, this one's called
Meat. Doesn't tell you a lot. Okay.
And we should clarify for the listener who, if you didn't watch it, if you're like one of the people who's going to listen along instead of watching the show, I mean, watch it. It's adorable and cute and great, and it made me feel things. But it is M-E-E-T, not M-E-A-T. So yeah,
I mean, there. I'm gonna keep going.
So, but like, yeah, there's a little bit of a spoiler, but I don't. Yeah. No, I don't think so. I mean, we just covered Russian Doll here, Potion Recaps, and I had a delight trying to decipher what every episode title means. So I like the episode title, and these ones, the one word style. If they keep that up, I like that as well.
Yes, keep it brief. Brevity is a sign of genius. That's something that a high school teacher of mine once said.
Ooh,
because I. Yeah. Talk and write too much.
Yeah. I was very excited by this. Stephen Fry is on the intercom, seems to be playing the headmaster of this all boys school. I was very excited to hear Stephen Fry. He might even be Sir Stephen Fry. Let me see the Fry.
I guess he's not a sir.
Feels like maybe a guy who might turn down the royal ship. Maybe, I don't know, but he's tremendous. I love him a lot, but Charlie realizes he's running late. He needs to get the homeroom. He has his homeroom number on his hand. And the teacher, I love the teacher being like, yeah, you're sitting next to Nicholas. You'll get along swimmingly, or you can sit in silence. Doesn't really bother me. Don't really care.
That reminded me so much of a high school teacher I had who was the exact same way. And he's still working there. So something about it works, but look, I mean, that was a lot to get from that teacher in meeting him.
It's like, yeah, I'm sure you get along or you won't, and I don't really care. So yeah. But Charlie sits next to Nicholas, and we sort of get, this is the meet cute of the episode. We get the leaves on screen, which seems to I sort of saw them as an analogy to sort of butterflies in your stomach. As the leaves scroll across the screen, and Charlie says hi, Nicholas says hi. That's all they do. They just say hi.
That's their thing. It's cute. It's cute. I'm just saying.
Yeah. And so we get Heartstopper on the screen, and then episode one, Meet. So we're at Truam Boys School.
Yes. Truam. That was the weirdest accent.
Charlie does meet up with Ben, and Ben says sorry about earlier. They ask each other how their Christmases were. Seems like they both had a pretty good Christmas, and Ben doesn't really let Charlie finish telling his story. He just interrupts him to kiss him. The bell rings, and Ben says, please don't tell anybody about this.
Can I just be petty for a second?
Yeah, be petty.
Maybe this is just my issues with Ben. Ben Hope and I have a lot of issues. I'm just saying, he needs chapstick.
Oh, interesting. I didn't notice.
Oh, I did.
I trust you. Yeah.
Yeah. That was on the third watch.
Okay. Ben Hope here, played by Sebastian Cropped. If you have a keen eye, you might know that he played young Ned Stark in Game of Thrones. But he's also been in Love, Death, and Robots. He did some voice work. A little up and coming British actor.
I do have a keen eye, just like Josh Wiggler got the LASIK done, so I could see it. And you know what, I think this was such a little moment too, just to see them interact, because we really get a whole entire arc with these two characters over the course of this episode. I just want to ask you, Grace, though. Was there an evolution in how you felt about the Ben and Charlie of it all over the course of the episode? Was it cute earlier on? I just didn't know how to think about it.
I mean, Charlie is certainly, he's our lead of the show, at least through episode one.
Right.
And he's so happy when he's having these happy moments seeing the text from Ben, and then having the heartbreaking moments of Ben clearly not being super comfortable yet. And I think what's interesting about the show is they do a good job, and I'm kind of jumping to the end here, but I think they do a good job of saying this isn't about whether somebody is comfortable to be out or not. Clearly Ben does not want to be out. But he's also doing the things he's doing it in a way that like are pretty demeaning of Charlie's feelings. So, you know, texting him to, you know, actually, no, can we meet up at the break instead? He's sort of like dictating when they're going to meet up and what happens when they meet up. He, you know, Charlie asks Ben, how was your Christmas? And so Ben gives a full answer. And then Ben's like, how was your Christmas? And Charlie starts talking and Ben interrupts him to kiss him. You know, he's like, I'm not really interested in you. I'm interested in exploring my sexuality through you. And so I'm not going to even respect that, like, you know, we're in some quasi relationship. So I like that angle, that it's not just like, because I've been in that relationship where the person is not out, and like it's totally like I was totally fine to like be ready for that person to like figure out what they needed to figure out. They did come out to like some family while we were dating. It wasn't like me pushing them, but that's when they were ready to do it, and we didn't work out. But like I hope that I was like our relationship was not, you know, the same as this relationship, or like Ben is kind of a jerk to Charlie.
Yeah, very much so. And I mean, again, skipping ahead to the end just a little bit, he does say, he basically is telling Charlie that he's undateable.
That's brutal.
But yeah, it's, I think the other thing that's interesting about this is just to remember also that they are high school students. And I don't know, maybe this is just a generalization, but I feel good about it. High school students have the lowest standards, like in a lot of ways, hygiene, friendships, any relationships and crush. Like even it comes up with Charlie at one point, but he basically just says he wants someone who will be nice and kind to him and laugh with him. And it's like, oh, that's cute. And this is realistic, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not that like, it's because Ben is not out. It's that Ben is just kind of being a jerk and again, trying to figure out his sexuality through Charlie, which it's fine to figure out your sexuality, but it's not nice to do it at the expense of like the other person's feelings. Right. And I think the show handles that well.
Yeah. I mean, I it's interesting because I wouldn't even, I guess he's just figuring things out. Right. And that's the piece with Ben where, you know, you have to be, or where I want to be, where we're, you know, clearly sympathetic, but also at the same time, it just feels like there's this other kind of a little bit of like, I don't know if I'd go as far as to say toxic masculinity, but it's like that adjacent for me a little bit, especially in terms of just like the, like, oh, I'm going to grab you and kiss you and you're mine. And it just felt like a lot.
He just sort of, I mean, figuring things out, but he is interested in boys, even if he's also interested in girls, like, you know, that's fine too. You know, bisexual people exist, pansexual people. But it's just he's interrupting him to kiss him. He just like, that's what he's looking to get out of this relationship. It's not being in a relationship with somebody. He just sort of wants the satisfaction of like hooking up with somebody. So yeah, kind of that sucks for Charlie and it's not fair. So great. Charlie and Nick keep seeing each other. We got more of like, hi. It's so cute. And they meet up with each other as they're heading to math class. And Charlie's like, are you seriously like doing your lessons as you're heading to class? He's like, yeah. And Charlie's like, well, I can just give you the answers. And very cute. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, how will I ever learn? When they're tussling over sort of the homework, Nick accidentally writes on Charlie and to apologize for it, he turns it into a little smiley face. He says, better. And Charlie says hi to Ben, who walks by. And this is bad Ben. He's, why are you even talking to me?
A little aggressive. Ben. Like all you need to do is like a hey, or like a nod, or just like a ignore.
Well, here's the thing. It is understandable. I often joke about sometimes when people will like question my history of LGBTQ media. I did a podcast called Hold Up with my friend Hudson, where we would look at LGBTQ media. We were not famous.
I famously did that too.
We're not famous. I feel like I talk about it a lot.
It was famous. I was on it. I heard from people.
And sometimes there'd be a thing that we'd be like, oh, we should talk about this thing. I'm like, oh, I've never seen that thing. And I'd get the look of like, how have you not seen that thing? I was like, well, I couldn't watch it because I didn't want anybody to think I was gay, you know, or like trans, you know, I couldn't watch that thing because then people would be like, why are you watching that show? That's a gay show. And that would mean that you're gay. And so Ben here, like Charlie's out in school, right? So Ben being hot, like if there's a reason that they know each other, Ben is in his head. I think like I'm overthinking for Ben. People will think I'm gay because I said hello and I'm friendly to the gay guy. So he's overcompensating for that by being mean to Ben or to Charlie, which is not the right thing to do. I hope when I was like, if I was like suppressing my sexuality, I was doing it at the expense of like not watching RuPaul's Drag Race.
Well, I was like, what was on TV at the,
Willing Grace, I would change the channel very quickly. You know?
I was gonna say Ellen, but not Ellen, like the talk show. Well, yeah, Ellen the talk show.
The sitcom, yeah.
Or the sitcom, depending on what generation you're in. Yeah. No, I mean, the thing is, and you know, I would have happily been gay with people in high school. That would I was open to it, right? But you know, it's interesting because to take what you're saying about Ben and his, it was really a gut reaction there. I don't, I'm not even sure if it was as much overthinking because he keeps, Ben does mention, he's like, look, I don't want anyone to find, like, we don't want people to find out, which totally overlooked.
You're just afraid that people will find you. He's like,
you are just afraid. You are afraid that people will find out, which again, it's like, it does, as like someone who has like, who's done a lot of work in the sexual assault, sexual violence, power and control, relationship, healthy relationship space. Like that to me was like, ooh, you don't need to hold that. That's like, that's a threat kind of, and it's an empty threat too, but Charlie will come around to that realization too.
Yeah. So Ben does say hi to Nick. Nick and Ben do know each other. They're in the same age. I guess Nick is a year ahead of Charlie. So
I feel like there's something there. I don't know.
Oh,
I
am Nick's very worried about the Nick and Ben of it all.
Oh,
I'm
sure there's something there. He said they hang out sometimes. Mm. And, you know, if honestly, the only thing he could have said that would have been like, ding, 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 would have been like, we've kicked it before, you know?
Ugh, no, I'm so worried. It's coming, Matt. I don't know when. People who have watched all, I know at least one person, I believe it was Connor in the Discord, has done, watched everything in the day, and I can't click the spoiler text because they watched everything. But I am dreading. Yeah, it was Connor. I am dreading there is going to be some Ben Nick thing that happens, that whether it's legit, like it doesn't matter if it's legit or not. Like it doesn't matter if they're like Nick is interested in Ben or whatever, but or, like Charlie will see that they're together and think that they're, and I'm like, I hate it already. It, like there's a pit in my stomach of Charlie thinking that Nick and Ben are going to be like hooking up. I'm so scared.
It's something about his, it's just something about him. I don't know what it is about Ben. Maybe part of it's the music and the score. They're really big on the music and the score and the lighting and all of it. Like, and so maybe that's what it is and why I just don't like, I want him to be gone, Grace. Get rid of him. Get rid of him.
I'm sure it is. That is coming, I think.
And no hope. I'm so, no hope 2022.
I'm so terrified.
No hope 2022 is the campaign against
them. So we did get, we get these three boys sitting at a table. We have who we learn, Tao, Isaac, and Charlie hang out. I was a little confused. I believe that there's confirmation later that Tao is straight, that I think that Charlie is my thought process was these are like three out gay kids who hang out, but I don't think that's true. I think they're just a friend.
That's the dream. That's the dream.
I know, right? If you're going to be out in high school, at least have a little gay little, you know, lunch club, you know?
Gay lunch club, yes.
But I think, I don't know, so far what I've, I think what they're telling is that Tao and Isaac are both straight, I believe.
That's
but
what they say.
Charlie. Yeah,
yeah, okay. That is what they give us.
And we learned that there used to be a foursome. It used to be there used to be a group, and Tao is very upset because Elle is now at an all-girls school. Says, I know it's better that they're at an all-girls school, but you know, now we're just like, what are we, a trio? Like, we're not a group, we're a trio. And there used to be four of us, now it's only three. And Tao spots Charlie looking over at the rugby player, Nick, and tells him, what are you doing? That guy looks like a golden retriever.
That was not Grace, the way that you said that was kind of like it was an insult, like, you know,
I think it is a little bit of an insult. I think it is.
wouldn't you want to look like a golden retriever if you looked like any dog? Like, that's a compliment, especially maybe for its personality.
Maybe. I love it. Charlie's like, he does not look like a golden retriever. And he turns around and looks at Nick and turns around and goes, okay, yeah, he does look like a golden retriever. Yeah. But we find out Charlie has been sort of obsessing over Nick a little bit. They hang out a lot. We get this flashback of Nick's pen exploding in class and them being a little bit.
He exploded all over himself.
Oh, my. Okay. All right. Well, the podcast, I think, has
to be. I don't know what you said. That literally is what happened.
It is what happened.
I think I missed something, Grace.
Yeah. So Tao says, be careful. These are straight boys. You have to be careful. And he says, these three of them, they're a trio of outcasts. Nick is the star of the rugby team. Tao thinks Nick is different with his bro friends. And Tao texts L. We're going to cut to L's storyline. Yeah. But yeah, I like Tao a lot. I think Isaac, he's kind of just there.
He's there.
It's also Isaac.
That's kind of like also realistic. There were also some people who were just there.
Yeah.
I wonder where he is, like, you know, in 10 years, five years later, I'd love to see where this Isaac character is.
Yeah.
Just kind of laying back and taking it all in.
A bit of my critique is that I kind of want Charlie. I wish Charlie's friend group was a bit. It's just Isaac, really. I just think he's kind of. I like Tao. He's played by William Gao. He's been really great so far, but. Yeah, I'm not sure what Isaac is doing here, but maybe he'll grow on me.
Yeah, maybe.
So
we'll see. Not getting my hopes up.
Yeah, me either. We cut to Elle. She's at Higgs Girls School. She's texting back with Tao saying, yeah, Higgs is definitely better than Truam. And even though she's sort of implying that she's making tons of friends, she is indeed sitting alone. She's saying everybody's nice, but she doesn't seem to have any friends. A teacher sees her phone and asks her to hand it over. Not even newbies get the exception to the no phone rule.
You know what? I think there's a popular saying, text for the friends that you want. And that's a thing. Phones getting cut. I didn't even realize that was still a thing. Like, the people got their phones taken away. I thought that was an important thing to have on you for a variety of reasons.
I think maybe, you know, especially at this time, like when it seems to be lunchtime, it feels like maybe you should be able to have your phone, but no.
I would not have that. I would protest school if I were a student these days just for that.
Yeah. Ugh. L played here by Yasmin Finney, a young English a trans actress. She's great so far. Doesn't get a ton in episode one. Really enjoying her. I believe she also got cast in a Billy Porter film that is maybe it's out. I don't know. I can't tell. But young up and coming actress. So
yeah.
And good on the show. I mean, I'm not surprised that this show did it, but to cast a trans person as a trans character on TV is a very good thing that not all shows were doing for a long time. So this is great.
Yes.
Yep. Ben texts Charlie again, says, meet me in the library. And Ben apologizes for ignoring Charlie in the hall and he kisses Charlie. Although Charlie seems a little bit uncomfortable with the situation.
Chapstick.
Gets chapstick. Come on.
Yeah.
So we see Ben is at a room during lunch, and the teacher I didn't catch his name during the scene. I think in episode two.
Yeah. So, but they didn't name him in episode one. So I will not name him. Maybe we should just for the clarity.
Ajayi, I think. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. Ajayi.
Okay. I made sure to write down the pronunciation too. But yeah, perfect. Mr. Ajayi, who apparently, I would, from my assessment, was, and maybe it's in part because of the pin on his sweater, but a Black queer art teacher. I would say
yes. I think that's right.
Who likes to fend off bullies for Charlie, from what we hear.
Yes, and I quite like I like this having sort of the out teacher. Sort of being a confidant for Charlie. Really enjoy their relationship, especially through this first episode. And he's like, yeah, been quite a while since you've hidden here at lunch. He's like, I'm not hiding. What are you doing? I'm just eating lunch.
I mean, yeah, fair enough. I, honestly, the art room's the right place to do that. Like in my school, we would definitely there wasn't hiding in the art room, but you know, you'd go, the art teachers chill. But I wish I had Mr. J in school in general, but that's a whole other topic.
I gotta say, I love this, but mostly because one of my biggest regrets is that there was a group of people who hung out in Mr. Man's art room at lunchtimes and during breaks, and they were specifically, at least a few of them were like out. There was a couple who two people who dated, and it was like, I was like, oh, this would be amazing to like be out and be with that group. But then also like, if I hung out with them, then people might think I'm LGBTQ. Like I didn't, but in my high school there was this sort of like little sanctum of like LGBTQ folks. I did hang out there sometimes, just like not all the time, but they were great. And it was in Mr. Man's art room, so I feel like I like Mr. J being the art room teacher who's like, you know, out and also like the confidant for Charlie. I really like it. Yeah.
And I think just like I one thing I love especially about that, just as a again, black queer representation, it matters. We love it. But it's in the classroom too. It's so notable because there are not, I mean, again, in the US context, I could say, aren't a ton of, there are a lot of struggles to find black men in the classroom and in some of those roles. And so not, and I don't mean in an acting sense, but in a classroom sense. And so it's just nice to see, you know, I was going to say dress for the cast for the world you want.
Mm-hmm.
I'm full of phrases today.
Well, also, you know, this show is set in Britain, but in America, there's a ton of legislation going on right now to basically like stop this from happening, for there to be able to like, you know, people to be teachers, to be able to talk to students about this type of stuff. This Don't Say Gay bill, like it's terrible. What it's going to do is like irreparably harm LGBTQ people. I see this thing go around on Twitter all the time, and I see it a lot with like this trans slogan, which is like, we don't want to make your cis kids trans, we just want to make sure that like trans kids become trans adults. And I think that's like, for me, like, yeah, that is the thing behind it. Like we're not trying to like make your, if your kid is not gay, I don't care if I'm not trying to make them gay. I would like them to be able to like have conversations about people who are LGBTQ so that they don't grow up to like repress that and have like, you know, internalized homophobia and all this stuff. But you know, we're not trying to make straight kids gay. We're not trying to make, you know, cis kids trans. We just want those people to be able to like sort of have the normalcy in which like sexuality, you know, heterosexuality and cisness gets talked about, you know, gender, societal gender norms, and you know, these trans and queer kids to be able to like sort of have that normalcy in their life. And unfortunately, these bills are doing a lot to like fight against that. So
And fight against people being able to see themselves more fully and see, like, if you, I've always gravitated to this phrase, like, you can't be what you can't see. Mm. And like, literally, if you don't know that if you don't know about what being trans is, or if you don't know about genders, and if you don't like all these things, these are gaps in what's possible for you. So you might be living life and feeling things that you're not able to kind of place until maybe later when you see someone who looks like you. So, I'm just glad. I hope that like shows like this are kind of doing work to put into perspective for adults. I'm sure that there are not, you know, many, the people who are the quote unquote Don't Say Gay people are not watching Heartstopper unless they thought it was a Shawn Michaels documentary and then it's too late. Yeah. But you know what? Like they're not tuning in, but hopefully at least people talking about the show could help folks understand that like, oh, wow, these are things that young people actually think about. So we need to talk about them.
Yeah. So Mr. J, Charlie tells him, you know, I have a boyfriend. He says, congratulations. He says, yeah, but the problem is like, my boyfriend doesn't think he's my boyfriend. And he ignores me. He says, have you tried talking to him? And Charlie just like totally puts his head down. Very relatable. Of like, yeah, I don't want to have a conversation. I want it to just fix itself on its own, Mr. J. And he's like, I don't know if I want to break up with him. And he's like, I hate being honest. He's like, I know it took you 3 months to tell me that you were being bullied last year. Yeah. So yeah, I love this. We don't need to, like, you know, go back in time to know that, like, there's some good writing in here to show that, like, Mr. J has always sort of been, like, you know, there for Charlie. He mentions earlier, he's like, "Are you being bullied again?" He's like, "No, I have a boyfriend." You know, they have this, like, relationship that's just great. Let's take a quick commercial break. We come back, we'll chat through the rest of Heartstopper.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, we are back. Scandal. Charlie sees Ben kissing a girl.
I kiss. I'm not trying to get sued by Katy Perry.
I think that's under the amount of, like, the time limitation, the amount of time you can sing the song.
Yeah, that should have been I kissed a girl and I liked it should have been playing here, just to really hit that on the nose.
Yeah. Well, we don't know if he liked it or not.
Actually a great point. He was kissing her for a while. Maybe he didn't like it.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe we'll find out later. Maybe
again, it doesn't matter. He could be bisexual. He's just, you know, he is trying to figure out his sexuality. So
exactly.
A lot of text messaging in the show, like full scenes where we just see, like, people typing. And this is one of the ones where it was so hard to, like, do the notes for, because it's like Charlie keeps writing out things and then erasing them. So I'd be like, he sends this message. It's like, oh no, he didn't send that message. But he sends, "Do you have a girlfriend?" And then he sends, "I hate you," all in caps. And then he sends, "I don't want to meet up with you anymore." And he actually sends that one. And Charlie's, like, messaging back. Ben is messaging back, but Charlie ignores the rest of Ben's text messages.
How do you feel about the texting hesitation? Is that a thing, like, that you bring into your life today, Grace? I just picture you just like, I hate Matt. No, I don't like him. He's not my cup of tea. And then you send that.
But I do feel like I have, like, just, like, standard things. I, you know, like, I'm a big, no worries. I probably, when we were trying to figure out what time we record, you probably stressed the time and I said, that works for me. I do a lot of that. I say that a lot. I don't think I type out and erase my messages, a lot, but I overthink a lot. So I probably think about what I'm going to send, but I don't think I do the type out and erase.
No, not to this degree of typing out a full sentence and erasing it. Yeah, I usually struggle for words. So I could relate to, like, the stammering text. That noise that I just made was basically what their texting looks like.
Do you know what? I don't hate it, because the show is choosing not to do narration. We're not getting, like, Charlie's voice. And because we have multiple, we'll see, exactly. I believe it's next episode. episode, we're going to get a Charlie and Nixie where they're both doing the same thing. And so seeing the what text they're writing and then erasing, you're getting like the viewpoint into what both of them are thinking without needing, you know, they're not using the narration stuff. So I don't mind it here. I don't mind seeing Charlie write up the text and erase it. It's a little corny, but the show is a little cute little, you know, teen show, you know? I like it.
I would love to see more of the, you know, maybe we'll get more of this later, but more of the, like, wait, is Charlie texting me? You know, you're getting like the little dots come up and then like, no, he's not. He's texting me. But I just wish it was like more focused on that because that would be insanely frustrating. Yeah.
It is frustrating. Actually, I don't mind the texting and that. I'm not often in a thing where I'm like watching my phone.
No, I'm
like,
never.
Like, but the being left on read is the one that's like the most frustrating. Ooh. But I'm a big victim, I think, of people leaving on read. But I will say I have a bad memory. So if you text me and I'm doing something else and then like I need to go back and do it, I often will forget. That's why I don't.
Yeah, same here. Sorry if I haven't replied to you yet.
Yeah. We meet Charlie's sister, Tori, who I love the way they utilize Tori and that she sort of just like pops up in the background every once in a while. She's like, why is your face like
vampire.
That? And he's like, yeah, kind of vampiric. Yeah. And he's like, well, I broke up with my boyfriend. And she's like, was he a knob? Yeah. Mm. Well done then. And this is when they're on the bus and saying, like, just hypothetically, what type of boy do you want to go out with? And he's like, she's like, someone who's a nerd, or is this an opposites attract situation? And he's like, I don't think I have the luxury of like choosing, which has felt very real. All of this stuff about like, what's your perfect? I think when you're like LGBTQ, there is a sense of like, I kind of just have to like, you know, luck into it. I feel like, I don't know.
Yeah, the other part though for me, again, it was like just the teens and not really knowing what you want. Look, because at least for me in relationships, one of the big things has been you kind of figure it out along the way, not necessarily even being in a relationship, but just like even if you have a crush on someone or you're interested or dating, there's the aspect of, I just realized I didn't like that thing about people. So then you become more discriminating over time. I think that's just how things work in general. It's like, oh, I don't need the 31 flavors. You know, I could go with the one, but they're not there yet.
So Charlie is very cute. He's someone to have a laugh with, someone who's nice and kind and likes being with him. He says, perhaps he'll take someone who's tall, and he wipes the moisture off the window and he stares out at Nick. So, ooh. They're in gym class. Maybe they call it
very random,
Britain, but Charlie is running way faster than everybody else running on the track. Yes. And Nick sees this, and so Nick meets Charlie at his locker and he says, first of all, he sees his drumsticks. And he's like, oh, you play the drums? That's so cool.
Yeah.
And
does he actually think? I don't know if he maybe he
I think he
think
does
that
think
was actually cool.
Yeah, I think he does. I think the thing that
That's
I love
opener.
About the show is that the two of them are incredibly genuine with each other, other than this one elephant in the room that they can't talk about, which is that Nick knows that Charlie's gay, but Charlie doesn't know if Nick's gay and so can't actually ask him, you know, or is worried about like asking him, right?
Yeah.
And so he says he has something to ask him, and adorably, Charlie thinks like it's like, you know, I'm gay too, and I'm in love with you. And do you want to go out with me? And then he's like, do you want to join the rugby team?
Yeah, that was quite the daydream moment. And with the, I think with like the bright pink background, the flower petals, like falling down. Ooh, I love what they're doing with this. I guess it's going to be interesting as the show goes along to see how often they employ that animated effect and where they choose to do it, but but specifically with this, I love that it wasn't just the animated effect, but it was the daydreaming of it all.
Yeah.
Charlie, I want to tell you I'm gay too, and I love you, and I want to be with you forever. I'm like, whoa, you are in high school. You're in high school, and you're not going to be together forever.
They're so ramped up. They're so ramped up when you're in high school. You know, these are like the most important things you're ever going to do in your life because like had 15, 16, 17 years of it.
Yeah. And that's part of why I like love. I'm loving this show so far because it just felt so realistic. And like, you do want someone to say that to you, and maybe you could daydream that and imagine that. But oh, poor Charlie.
No, yeah, Charlie. Being asked to join the rugby team, they need a reserve. They have enough players, but they can't field the team without a reserve player. And he's like, I'm small and weak. I don't know how to play rugby. I don't think I can play rugby. And Nick's like, oh, I'll teach you. I can teach you how to play.
So you think I'm small and I'm weak?
Oh, yeah. Charlie's good in this scene. I like Charlie. Charlie's not totally this, like, shy.
He has some edge.
Kid.
He has a little bit of an edge.
Yeah. Yeah, when he retorts him there, he's like, yeah, you think I am small and weak? It's cute. It's so cute. Once again, Tal telling him, be careful. This is just another silly crush. And Charlie's like, listen, I don't fall for every guy who's nice to me.
Like, lies. That's literally what you said.
Lie detected.
Corey, pull up the receipts. Pull up the receipts. Yeah. That's, you know, and I will say that's like the most one hard parts to watch about this, just because very relatable. Like, I'm sure there was a point where I was like, oh, nice. Like, maybe, and I almost feel like, you know, it's the golden retriever effect, you know?
It's true. Like, maybe Charlie's a little golden retriever.
He's very golden retrieverish. Yeah.
Tao's like, well, your funeral if you're going to join the rugby team. Walks up. I really like Tao. Tao is a highlight for me so far.
I do not like Tao because I think I take it from Charlie's perspective, where Tao to me feels like I want a friend who's an enabler, who's gonna tell me like, yes, he's in love with you. I don't need a friend who's gonna tell me about reality. I don't need reality. I need the dreams, the fantasy. Give me the fantasy, Tao.
This is good. This is where we're gonna make a good podcasting duo, because I think that you're the glass half full. You're like, you want, and then you want someone to, like, the glass is half full, and I think I want some. No, it's half empty. I want the Tao to be my friend, to be like, you're being ridiculous. Snap out of it.
It's a day of the week thing. Yes, okay, from a practical perspective, I would say yes, I would like that.
Okay,
but also it is nice to have those moments where just the butterflies and the leaves and the animated flower petals and pink background, you know, taking it all in. But you know what? I was watching this episode kind of trying to get a sense of Tao, and like, is Tao just a hater or is Tao being realistic? And that's
Tao's a realist.
It took me some time to figure that out. Yeah. And Tao means well, but you know, you don't like to, truth hurts.
Yeah. So Charlie's heading to rugby practice, but he overhears the other boys in the locker room, and they're like, he's so small. Does he even like sports? And then he hears everybody knows he's gay. And good for Charlie again. He's not this like shy, you know, he doesn't hurt himself. He walks right into that locker room.
Get in
good
there,
for
pal.
Charlie.
Yeah. And then they're all completely silent.
Oh, yeah.
High school, that could happen anywhere to anyone, even to adults. But yes, very awkward moment. But you know what? Charlie was in power. Charlie did shut them all up. Look at that.
We had this moment. Nick and Charlie are learning. Charlie's learning how to play rugby. And Nick's like, where's your can-do attitude? And I love this line from Charlie. Says, she left long ago. And Nick tells Charlie to tackle him. And when he does, says that was perfect. And then he teaches him how to play. He says, we could do that again, but I'm actually going to be running this time. So,
yeah.
We get an interesting scene here. Nothing else in this episode alludes to Tao or L, but Tao is watching the girls leave Higgs all girls school, and L is watching the boys leave Truman school, but they do not spot each other. But I believe they are looking for one another.
Yeah, and this was I almost don't catch the montages as they start to happen, just because I just feel like they pop up out of nowhere, which with no complaints. But this was an interesting one where, again, that was something that I spotted. They both just seemed potentially sad to be apart. Maybe that's what we're being told there. And again, like in that montage, you know, this was all happening as the tackle drills were going on. So there's, and then also I think we saw Ben in that cut walking in music block to where we ultimately saw him in just a little bit. And so a lot happened here, but they didn't really give us much with the L and Tao. I mean, literally they didn't even see each other in that moment.
No. I want more of them. Obviously the story that the show is primarily focused on is Charlie and Nick, but I want more L and I want more Tao, I think. So So yeah, we do see Charlie gets a text from Ben saying, please meet me at Music Block. Charlie seems hesitant, but agrees. Nick does sort of linger and sees him going in. And Ben immediately is like making fun of him, but he tries to kiss him. And, Charlie's been like, don't touch me. Ben doesn't believe that he doesn't want to meet up with him. He's like, why would I be scared of getting caught? I am out to the whole school.
Thank you.
You are the one. It's such a good. It's so good. It's so
burn. Good.
Yeah.
Got him. Got him, as the kids probably say.
Yeah, they all say that. Yeah. And then he's like, you have a girlfriend. And Ben thinks he's angry about him not coming out. He's like, I'm not angry about you not being out. Like, take your time. If anybody would understand someone trying to figure out their sexuality, it's Charlie. Yeah. But you never cared about his feelings. And this is where Ben, shady mother, is like, well, shady, not like anybody shady. Else would want to go out with you.
Ooh. And yet, who's trying to make out with who?
Yeah, he pushes him against the wall and tries to kiss him. This is non-consensual. Not good. And Ben is keep trying. He's like, I like you, but I'm figuring stuff out. Like, what more do you want? To care about his feelings. And Nick rips Ben off of Charlie. He's like, he told you to stop. Go on. Piss off.
Slow Woo! Clap. So amazing. It was, I'm just glad. I'm glad that he was there. I'm also just glad in general that like that was cut off when it was cut off.
Yeah.
This is such an interesting scene from the perspective of, well, maybe from the perspective of every character, but I think from the perspective of the Ben character, because you're really trying to wrap your head around like what is going through his head exactly. Because what I was getting from him was just desperation above everything else. And then there's the aspect of power and control. And we physically saw him pushing Charlie up against the wall.
Which is not fair because we know Charlie is small and weak.
Small and admittedly small and weak. It's on record. And so
but he's not emotionally small.
He's not. He's not. But, I'm glad that that Nick could be there to come to the rescue. And it's also actually maybe like I get it. Like I get how this doesn't turn into a situation where it's like, okay, we're going to report what Ben did. It's interesting because this actually brings up like something I'll mention as an aside, but only a few years ago, like about right before the pandemic, I did like different sexual assault and healthy relationships workshops in high schools. Mm-hmm. And like, you could imagine as a high school student, why you might not want to report something that happens, even if it's like literally what we just saw here. And so I feel like that's what we're getting, but it's sad because now we have to watch Charlie navigate Ben and that really cringy, creepy, kind of scary dynamic. Right.
Yeah. And like, I think there's part of this too, where like, because Ben's not out, I do think that there's a part of Charlie who is like, if I report it, also I'm outing him, which feels bad, but also like Ben did something bad and should sort of probably face the consequences.
Mm-hmm. Schools should be able to like not out a student while also disciplining them, but that's a whole other thing. But then again, I also could get if Charlie's like, I don't want to out him. I don't want to be the one. Maybe else didn't think it was that bad or at the end of the day, or so, there's so many different things that could happen, but we would hope in an ideal world, you could go to the right people in the school to report, like Mr. J.
Yeah, certainly. We'll see. Charlie's like, I'm sure you probably heard that. And Nick's like, yeah, most of it. But he wanted to check if Charlie was okay. He noticed he was looking a little weird after practice in the locker room. And this is this to me, as an over-apologizer, as a Canadian, this to me, I think says a lot in the moment. Charlie is like, I'm sorry. And Ben's like, Nick is like, you don't have anything to be sorry about. And Charlie apologizes again. He's like, sorry. And Ben's like, you say sorry a lot. And like, you look like you want to say sorry. Do not say sorry again. It's like, he definitely wants to. Then they walk off together. But like, yeah, boy, the over-apologizing right after he has been like assaulted. I talked about this before, but there's a way in which like being LGBTQ for me, I experience it the most as being trans, but feeling like you are the one you're like an intrusion on society, that like society is so heteronormative, so patriarchal, so cis normative that like whenever you're like, you know, somebody misgenders me and I'm like, ah, should I correct them? But then that's me being like that's me being like, you know, bringing it up, making there be conflict where there's not. And I definitely feel this from Charlie of feeling like he's apologizing for something he has no reason to apologize for. Nick is great in this moment being like, stop, like you apologize a lot. Stop apologizing. Like this is not your fault. But it's, I think it's super relatable here that Charlie's immediately reaction to this encounter is to be like, I'm sorry, Nick.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's really spot on. And I feel like there's a lot there. I'm sorry. I got stuck in your stories.
Did I say it in a weird way? Sorry.
Not weird, just Canadian. Completely unrelated. I think we should do like a Degrassi recap at some point, Grace. Just for all the stories. But another show for another time. But that's a great observation too. And you know, let's hope that we actually see that play out over time where Charlie isn't as apologetic, where Charlie grows into his own, because he is confident in certain ways. He has a little bit of an edge, you know, but he's also
that's
a high
pride,
school student.
Right? Yeah, that's pride, exactly. Right? That's why we call it pride, right? We want to be like proud of who we are and like be affirmative and be confident and like accepting of that. And there's definitely a way in which, even though Charlie is out, he doesn't exactly have like pride, right?
He's getting there and you know, we do hear a little bit more about that, I believe, in the next episode about when he came out, and so, you know, that's he's young and obviously it's all newer to him, and so, you know, a lot of things have to be unlearned, and we get it. Sorry Charlie.
They head in different directions. Very cute. Charlie looks back and smiles as Nick is walking away. It's adorable. It's great. It's cute. Nick ends up in the car and I freaked out because
I just want to say for a second in the notes, there is a name that I have never seen.
What?
In the notes. Grace.
What?
Who is this person?
Olivia Colman. You don't know Olivia Colman?
Oh, I know her face.
So I'm a huge Olivia Colman.
Wait. You're talking about Olivia Colman.
Yeah,
I thought you were talking about Olivia Colman. Oh, yeah. Olivia Colman. You know, I remember her. She was born January 30th, 1974. She's an English actress. Oh, and God, known for comedic and dramatic work, and has won awards.
She has a CBE. She's
been active since 1999. I remember that.
Stop reading your Wikipedia page. Enough.
It's closed now. Sorry.
Enough. I love Olivia Colman. There is an ongoing bit on Post Show Recaps Theater where I will be doing Colman Cast, where I podcast all of Olivia Colman's work. I first saw her, I believe the first thing I saw her in was Fleabag, or perhaps The Favorite, a role in which she won an Oscar for playing Anne, Queen of Great Britain. She was in Hot Fuzz. She's in so much stuff, so much great stuff. Broadchurch. She was also in Landscapers, a show I covered with Sarah Carradine on this network. So I love Olivia Colman, and it was like the greatest like end of episode reveal to be like, wow, Olivia Colman is also in the show. Like, I think Josh Wigler did it as a trick to me to not tell me Olivia Colman was in the show and then have her show up at the end of episode one. What a delight. I'm so happy.
That's the reason why Josh was like, you need to watch this, Grace.
I know. I thought they pulled their budget on Stephen Fry, and then here's Olivia Colman playing Nick's mom in the car, and I lost it. I couldn't believe it.
Look, I think that Olivia Colman is a gem and an international treasure.
You will, Matt.
This is an interesting Wikipedia page. There's a philanthropy section and everything. Look at that.
She's great. She's so great. She's a delight. She swore in her Oscars speech, Matt. I'll send that to you.
Swore in. I heard like swearing in, and I'm like, huh? How? She was like hand on some kind of object.
She played Queen Elizabeth in 2 seasons of The Crown. She's so good. She's amazing.
Her voice was in an episode of The Simpsons in 2020.
Who hasn't been in The Simpsons though? But
I mean, Drunk History too. Also episode 2.7. Maybe that's season 2, episode 7, which is 1 season short of being on her nap. But hey.
I seriously love Olivia Colman, and I'm delighted that she plays Nick's mom. It's great. So
I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
And I hope I have a moment like that in the show. Yeah. I don't think it'll happen.
Maybe.
Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels. She's like, good practice, Nikki. And he kind of like ignores her. He's sort of like zoned out. He says, yeah, it was a normal practice. Charlie texts him. Charlie can't figure out what to write. He writes, thank you, X. And Nick smiles. It's very cute. And
that X. Is the X, like, is that like, see, I know that's not like love, but like that X has some kind of meaning. He was staring at the X.
It's a kiss. It stands for a kiss, right? Or is X the X is the hug? X is.
I'm basically a boomer.
I think so. X has to be hug because it's like I'm hugging you. So like it's an X, and then O must be a mouth for a kiss, right? X's and O's, right? Hmm.
What? Oh, wow. What? Great.
Wow, this is like your Olivia Colman moment. Yeah, X's and O's, right? Like,
what?
Kisses and hugs, but I think it's hugs and kisses. The X is like a hug, and the O is like a mouth that's giving you a little kiss, right? Did I make this up? Am I a secret genius?
How about we don't find out now, and we'll come back to that in the future. Okay. But I know it's like, it is hugs. No, it is hugs and kisses.
Yeah, and so that the is X the meaning, is a hug. But... The X is a hug, and the O is a little mouth giving a kiss.
Yeah, I never thought about it like that visually.
Uh-huh. This is pre-emoji time, man. This is the universe we lived in where you need, you know, if you wanted to have a hug, that's a minus, less than 3, you know? How does, or if you're on Puya's thing? Channel, a less than 2.
Yeah. How does Charlie, I almost called him Charles. Charlie even know that, like what the X is for? Come on. You're supposed to be an emoji person. You're young.
Think the kids these days maybe sometimes still use the X's and O's. Maybe.
You never know. The kids these days, they'll surprise you.
I don't know. Well, that's episode 1, Meat. Very cute. It hooked me right away. I thought it was a delight.
Yeah, it was a really sweet one. And look, it's just sad, Grace. We have the painful experience of not being able to binge through this, which I know is like also the more rewarding thing. It's like that moment when you're like, oh, I need to eat the like cake before I eat all the icing. Like, what's that all about? But like, it's better for us, I think.
I think most people be like, I have to eat my veggies before dessert. You're like, no, I have to eat the cake before the icing.
Yeah, eat all the icing off and then go for the rest of it if there's any room left.
That's great. I love that. I always say I think the best comedies are heartfelt and dramatic, and this certainly had that. That it's a cute little rom com, but it also has this, like, you know, I don't know. It's like a great scene, but it has this like interesting thing here where like this dynamic between Ben and Charlie is very complicated. I presume will be complicated throughout the show. I thought a good first episode, a good way to kick off this little show.
And just to kind of even underscore, I mean, we ended the episode, we talked about it, but Nick saw, apparently there were the birds, there were the animated, some animated birds or something going on there.
Yeah.
This was really interesting from so many perspectives, which is how I was able to watch it so many times. Mm-hmm. This hits close to home. And it's interesting because it hits close to home on so many levels. For me personally, I would say one, their uniforms are next level. We did not have matching ties in my high school. No, sad. Which, like, I wonder, I'm going to pay attention to that going forward, but I wonder how many ties they have laying around. Maybe it's like a clip-on situation now that I think about it. Anyway, this was it's such a beautiful show, so meaningful. And what I think I really love about it is the reaction has just been so positive across the board from folks that I've seen, and people have just been like been feeling the feels like we've been feeling them, which is really cool. And so I hope people love to hear us talk about it and reminisce and be old.
Yeah, and I know people who watched the whole thing who were like, this was delightful. So I'm excited.
I don't want to know them.
No.
Actually, Grace, send me a list of names and I will block all of them.
Okay.
Or mute. I don't know. Well, we'll see. If they spoil me, they will get blocked.
Okay. Well, they didn't spoil me. I'm not saying they spoiled me, but they just said it was the reviews I've seen and the things that it was a treat. So what that makes me excited for is that we have 7 more episodes after today to watch this like lovely little show. Our plan is to release coverage roughly every other day, hopefully scheduled depending that will stay. Today, Thursday, April 28th is episode 1, and we'll be back in 2 days time with our episode 2 coverage, and hopefully we'll be able to continue that trend. When we do these binge daily shows, Matt, I don't love to inundate our listeners with my plugs every single episode, but at the beginning of a show, I think it makes sense to do some plugs. So, Matt, where can people find you on the internet, and what are you up to?
Oh, I was going to say at home, not at home, podcasting a ton.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I have been on a little bit of for most of this month, for the last 3 weeks, I've been on a podcasting break. But you can find me on Twitter, especially. That's the place. That's the real place to find me. Unlike all these kids who are on their Instagram all the time, at Matt Scott GW. Follow me there, check things out. You'll sometimes see podcasting things, you'll see work things, you'll see life things. You never know what you'll get. It's a wild card. Follow me there, and you'll also, if you follow me there, kind of get updates on when both of our Rob Has a Podcast, RHAP Rehab Ups, that I'm part of, are coming back. One of them being the Wrestling Rehab Up with the one and only Mari Forth, which, Grace, you have been on a million times. I'm going to say you're in the five timer club.
I think I am in the five timers club.
I think you've been on more than five. I'm pretty sure you've been on more than 5 times. Mm-hmm. I'm not great at counting.
We counted it last time I was on, and I don't remember, but I think it was 5 the last time I was on.
No. I wish I knew. And so I'll send you a hat. Then you could also stay up to date on Pod Friends. So Pod Friends interview podcast over on RHAP. Season 1 was January to March, interviewing 8 people. And it's coming back. I think tweeted that. So I'm looking for ideas. So follow Pod Friends at Hey Pod Friends on Twitter. And I actually tweeted out a link to fill out a form if you have guest suggestions from the RHAP PSR universe and all. But Grace, where could the people find you?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter as well, at Hi From Grace. Doing lots of stuff here on Post Show Recaps. Post Show Recaps Theater every week with Ariel. This week we had 2 podcasts. The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, the Nick Cage movie. We covered that with Josh Wigler. Then we covered The Northman with DM Philly. So that was great. Covering Winning Time every week with Jason Reed. Russian Doll coverage, or episodic coverage, just wrapped up. We did all 7 episodes of season 2. That show is amazing and tremendous. I almost said tremazing, which I think I was going to combine amazing and tremendous. But it was great. We'll be back with a feedback show with Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz. So get your feedback in with us on the Discord, or tweet at me, or Grace at PostShowRecaps.com with your Russian Doll feedback. We're looking forward to that. Next week, The Wilds is returning season 2. Ooh. So Jess Sterling and Ariel and myself will be covering that. And I was on a Severance feedback show with the aforementioned Dr. Amanda and Melissa and Josh, because I wanted to talk about Severance, and they invited me on to chat about it. There's more to talk about, but also I'm stealing Josh's crew to go talk about The Shining Girls, a new Apple TV show with Elizabeth Moss, a time traveling serial killer, maybe seems to be the show. So the first 3 episodes drop this Friday, so we are going to podcast about all of them, and then the rest of the episodes will drop weekly. So I have a lot going on. Rob is a podcast. I do the Off Speed podcast.
That
we
is
talk
a
about
thing,
sports.
Yes.
Last week we talked about sports scandals. We watched Netflix's Bad Sport, talked about the Russian Canadian figure skating scandal of 2002, which was a big deal up north. And next week we'll be back with some coverage of Australian rules football. So I'm very excited about that. So those are all my plugs. I will not do them every time because they'll take up too much. I think you just added an hour to the show. So
you'll just insert them into as we covered the show. You'll be like, I said on this other unrelated podcast, it works. You know, people, and you know what? I'm sure there are some show notes. Check out some things. Here's
I think in all the things Matt and I talked about, there has to be at least one of the things that like we were like, oh, I know that show, and maybe want to hear some coverage on. So, those are our plugs. We'll be back in 2 days' time with episode 2 of Heartstopper. Until then, bye-bye.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.